Mr. Data, warp speed, please.
Hour 4 of the Trekmate Protocol.
So what kind of combat training do you have?
Fancy.
But there's no one else around. You promised that you'd beam me up, but I keep falling down. My way Chekhov keeps on trying, though I might hit the ground. And I'd say, well, it's too late to energize. It's too late. Said it's too late to energize. It's too late.
Gentlemen, we're approaching the drop zone. You have one shot to land on that platform. You may have defenses, so pull your chute as late as possible. 3, 2, 1.
Take another jump, take a hit, take a blast for you. I need you like a ship needs a warp core holding on Sulu. Yeah, yeah. Well, I love you with the phaser red. Now it's turning blue. When you say, sorry, said the ensign, I'm having trouble locking onto you. But I'm afraid it's too late to energize. It's too late.
And we're back.
Hey!
Hello!
Hello!
Hello.
So, yeah, thanks for coming back, everyone. And I just want to say we've just had a little influx of donations. So thank you, everybody, who has donated. We are now at a total of £400 so far.
Excellent.
Yay!
So thank you so much, everybody. It really does make a big difference. So... it's really appreciated. Thank you.
Really is.
Okay. Now, this hour, we are going to be discussing the Star Trek captains. So if you guys want to get your voices heard, then please message us, let us know in the chat room, or add us on Skype. We are Trekmate1701 on Skype, and we'll be able to join you to the chat. So, by all means, do. Let's kick this off. Obviously, we've got the five main captains. Who is everybody's favourite?
Favourite captain.
Picard.
Yeah, captain.
Picard.
Archer.
I must say, I think mine tends to depend on what series I'm watching at the time. If I watch Next Gen, I love Picard. And then I find out that if I watch Deep Space Nine, it's Sisko. And they've all got their own endearing qualities, but if I had to sort of line them up and shoot all of them but one, I wouldn't kill Patrick Stewart.
We didn't ask who you'd kill, Paul.
No, but like, he'd be my favourite. If I had to make an old
right.
Emma's telling me hers is Picard.
Yeah, no, for me personally, it's Janeway.
Yeah, you've got a Janeway crush.
Yeah, why is that?
That's the thing. Don't get me wrong. I have such a man crush on Jean-Luc, and I would do anything for that man. But for me personally, Janeway, Archer had a similar deal in the sense of he was the first. Like, he was out there, and what I liked about Archer was that he went out there with so many prejudices about Vulcans and just wanting to get... You just saw his character grow. He became from, like, the humans that we are now, finding his feet within Starfleet. But for me, Janeway was... She had the ideology of Picard, but she was flung out into the Nether Regions... And she made the right decision and had to live with the consequences of that decision.
You say that she had the ideology of Picard, but she never basically obeyed the Prime Directive, though. Picard would never break the Prime Directive. She broke every possible moment she could.
No, not every possible moment. I would argue that. But the thing with Janeway is a question of she really... that's the thing. She had to get her entire crew home, but then at the same time, she had to set an example for the crew. She had to provide emotional support for the crew. She had it so much harder than everybody else.
Well, she was on her own, wasn't she? She had no support, really.
No
backup. So yeah, you're right there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. I absolutely love Janeway to bits.
But it's right. Yeah, Picard never did violate the Prime Directive, did he? When there was that statement I saw on Twitter recently, which made me giggle, when it was Picard talking to Wesley, and he says to Wesley, "Do you know what the difference between the Prime Directive and your mother is?" And Wesley goes, "No." And he goes, "I've never violated the Prime Directive."
I knew that was coming up.
But no, I do. She was a very strong character, a sort of strong female character as well, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was. That's the thing. Don't get me wrong. Janeway.
Hello?
We lost Wayne there.
Yeah, I think you've hit... mute button.
Your button.
On Voyager, we really had the power trio, which was... Janeway, B'Elanna, and Seven. So it was all like the girl power thing. But that wasn't really what endured me to her more than anything else. So, but still, I can forgive the blatant smacks in the face of feminism that sometimes came from Voyager. But still, that's the thing. Obviously, when people first approach the subject of favourite captains, most people either jump to Kirk or Picard.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Though saying that, I would say Kirk was probably the weakest captain.
Yeah, so would I.
Yeah. Yeah, well, definitely. He didn't have much... He only had character development in the films.
Yeah.
So, that's why he's probably the weakest. Every other captain had... Much more development. Picard was kind of in each episode captain. He changed from each episode to the next. Sisko had the whole Dominion War. Janeway had getting back to the Alpha Quadrant, and Archer had basically being the first captain, seeing everything, and the Zindi Arc. Mm-hmm. And according to the Wilderness JD, his favorite captain is Captain America.
Yes. Okay, then, guys. I tell you what, guys, we have got our first caller going to join us.
Ooh.
And sorry, this is the lovely lady from Georgia, America, Laurie Sears. So let's add her to the call. and hopefully she will arrive shortly. Hiya, hi, Laurie.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, Laurie.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you fine.
Oh, great.
Welcome.
Okay. Well,
hi.
Hey, Laurie.
Hi. Hey.
The first thing that's grabbed us is your Skype picture is you next to... Whose uniform is that?
That's Janeway's? Yeah, it is.
Ah, my girl.
Yeah, that was at Kennedy Space Center. They had a Star Trek exhibit, and we went down there and had my picture made next to it.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That's a lovely picture.
Thanks.
So, thanks for joining us. Tell us a little bit about yourself. What was like your relationship with Trek?
Oh, I started watching The Next Generation, and then I got into Voyager, and I was addicted after that. And I've watched every series now. I'm almost finished with Enterprise.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh,
okay.
What
are you thinking of it so far?
I like it.
That doesn't sound enthusiastic.
I don't know. It's just not my very favorite. There's certain episodes that I like better than others. I guess that's like for every series. But
fair enough. Each of their own.
Yeah. Hmm.
Are you on season 4 just now?
No, season 2, almost finished with season 2.
Oh, wait till you get season 3.
Haven't got good yet.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, good. So it'll get better.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh yeah, much better.
Definitely. So, obviously at the moment we're talking about the captains.
Right.
Let's have your thoughts.
What do you want me to say?
Well,
do you want?
For you yourself, who was your favorite captain?
Oh my God, Janeway is my favorite captain, definitely.
Another one.
Who else?
Janeway's my favorite captain, totally. So.
Oh really?
Yeah. Yeah, no, she's by far the strongest. She had the most raw deal going out of everybody. So she was out there on her own, having to bring back the whole crew, and just supporting everyone, and just being like the strong, captain that she needed to be. And she didn't always buckle to pressure. I mean,
I know
some people don't like it, but she took on the Borg.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God!
Yeah,
the whole Borg, did she?
That got a bit tedious after a while. That's true.
Yeah.
I have to admit. It was a little much. And I don't know. That was oversimplified, in my opinion, too. I mean, one ship against the whole Borg, really? No. Mm. That doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But, I mean.
I love the way that she faced things in Year of Hell, though.
Yeah.
Oh, that was good.
That's a great episode.
Yeah.
And Equinox. She was great in Equinox because you saw the best and worst of her.
Yeah.
Mm.
Definitely.
Oh, Michael, I get to hear your voice for the first time.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, it's amazing that the geeky friends that we find online and eventually get to chat with.
Right.
I chat a lot on Twitter, don't we? So.
Yes, we do.
Who would you say is the weakest captain for you personally, then?
Oh, I hate to say this because people hate me, but I think it's either Archer or Kirk. They're kind of tied for me. Sorry.
Yeah, we'll forgive you. We'll just assume it's Kirk.
Wayne's just punched his microphone in anger.
But no, still, it's for me personally, Kirk was an ideal. Like it was for the first captain, he created this whole persona.
Mm-hmm.
But then the captains that followed really blew him out of the water.
Mm.
That's true. He couldn't help. I mean, he's when you go first at anything, everybody after you is always going to do it better. Mm. You set the mold.
I remember when The Next Generation started, and there was a whole lot of talk about
Picard, and would he be better than Kirk? And, you know, there was a whole load of comparisons going on at the time, which obviously now we've got three subsequent captains. But I just think Patrick Stewart compared to William Shatner, they were just worlds apart completely. Mm-hmm. You know, William Shatner was just was a very weak captain. I think he was just, I mean, I do like the original series, but he was just so one-dimensional. Whereas Picard had so many aspects to his personality, they were just chalk and cheese.
Yeah, definitely. I think the writing has something to deal with that too, though, because you think in the 60s, they weren't really interested in the characters, were they? It would just be one story to the week, and then it's reset the following week, isn't it? Everything's reset to the beginning.
But it's kind of like Top Trumps. You could have, you know, five or six different aspects that ones are better over the other.
That's true. They all have their good points.
I mean, Laurie, what would you say is your favorite kind of non-main captain? So, like, for me, it'd be somebody like Captain Jericho, where we only kind of see him for maybe one episode.
That guy was interesting. I liked him. He was no nonsense. He got it done. But
yeah,
I did. Yeah, get it done. Yeah, no, I do like Ronnie Cox as well. I thought he was. You know, I thought he was a great actor and played the part really well.
Yeah, definitely.
Laurie, we've got a couple of other people wanting to join in. So is there any final thoughts that you want to give us on the captains?
No, I just wanted to pop in and, I guess, give my 2 cents. That was fun. Thank you.
No, we really appreciate you joining us. And we're going to be having another couple of call-in sessions. So if you're around, give us a bell.
Okay, I will.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. Sorry.
All right, thanks.
See ya.
Bye.
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 Now, before we get our next person on, this is really interesting getting people on.
Yeah, it is.
It's something totally different. We're so used to just talking to each other in our own little small world. I just wanted to say a big thank you for such a generous donation.
Jesus.
From James Roberts, who has just kindly donated £200.
Wow.
Wow.
To the special care baby unit. So thank you so much. That is
really kind.
Holy smoke.
Paul, give him 4 coffee machines.
well, with a donation of £200, he's a top runner for the new iPad.
He's in the running
iPad.
For the iPad. Yeah, he's in the running for the iPad with a donation like that. So thank you very much, James.
We did mention the iPad earlier, didn't we?
We did, yes.
Yes.
Paul's bum's just clenched right back up.
Paul's mentioned it every time he can.
Oh, dear. So, yeah, no, thank you so much. Now, okay, let's find out somebody else's opinions. And let's join one of our regular listeners, Oliver Brooks. So I'm just connecting him. Oh, sorry, Oliver, could you mute your sound for us?
There we go, sorry about that.
No worries, mate, no worries.
Hi. Guys, on the air. Enjoyed the show so far, well done, loving it so far.
Oh, thank you. It's only early doors, so you've got plenty more time to get sick of us.
I've just got to say that my favourite captain today would be Sisko.
I'm glad someone stuck up for him.
So yeah, you like the crazy then, do you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I love the absolute craziness of him. Yeah, can't wait for Star Trek London for him to be there.
Yeah.
I'm just
wondering if he's going to punch someone. Just go mental and start punching people. Yeah.
I'll be there filming it if he is.
Yeah, me too.
On our most recent podcast, the guest we had on, Bernice, was saying that she met him in Christchurch, and apparently someone asked him if his wife was there, and he went a bit crazy about that.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. But what a random question.
Is your wife here?
Yeah.
Yeah, she meant to meet you. Where's your wife?
Paul, apparently, I'm taking money to ask him that in the questions.
Yeah.
I met Brent Spiner at what's it called? London Film and Comic Con in 2010 or 2011. And he just started to end up doing impressions of Captain Picard and Michael
Dorn.
Yeah,
he's quite good. Yeah, he's really good.
Really bad, though.
No, I've heard his Patrick Stewart. It's actually quite good. I haven't heard his Michael Dorn impression, but I've heard Brent Spiner's Patrick Stewart impression. I thought it was quite good.
Yeah, he did that, and he did it, and Michael Dorn both reciting Shakespeare. All the way through.
Okay.
But back to Cisco, sorry. Cisco...
We used to digressing.
But Cisco, I thought he was so under... He's such a great captain. I mean, he almost single-handedly saved the Alpha Quadrant from Jem'Hadar Dominion rule. Through, all his tactics and things like that. And he had the weight of being the prophet or messiah or whatever you call it on his shoulders. And he had all the grief to deal with his wife dying from the pilot episode as well. So I think he's just the way the character developed from absolutely hating Deep Space Nine in the first episode and wanting to leave ASAP to, wanting to build a house in Bajor by the end of season 7. It's just such a great character journey.
Yeah, I think you're right there.
Yeah, definitely. What was your favourite episode with Cisco, Oliver?
Probably would be Into the Pale Moon Knight, the one where he gets the Romulans to win the war.
It's a fake one.
Yeah. It's a fake!
I knew that was coming from Mark.
Mark's just chomping at the bit every time to just
do that. I love doing that. Yeah, it was my little clip in 10 forward the other week when Mike just said, "Oh, it'd be nice if Mark could do that." And I just had the mic there, and I just thought, "Yeah, I'm going to have to do my it's a fake."
The only thing, I mean, the episode where he goes, "It's a fake," is a great episode. But I always think now when I see that one scene that cuts, that Cisco would just laugh at him.
Yeah.
It's so comedic.
Yeah, have you seen the YouTube clip where, Far Beyond the Stars, where Sisko saying, "It's real"?
Yeah, no, I haven't.
Where he's talking about it, and there's a clip, and you've got the Romulan guy going, "It's a fake," and he's going, "It's real, it's a fake, it's real." It's really, really funny. You've got
to
have.
I try to avoid anything to do with Far Beyond the Stars as much as possible.
Oh, that's a great episode.
That's terrible. It's the worst episode of Star Trek ever.
Is that one where they're actually on Earth and they're in the printing office?
He's the guy writing the comic book.
Great.
It's a piece of shit.
No, it's not. It is a brilliant episode.
It's no threshold.
No, threshold's good. That's bad.
No, threshold's awful.
I would rather watch threshold any day than that.
Oh, no. Adam, you are so wrong. That is a fantastic episode.
It's dreadful. It ruined Star Trek completely.
Right, you're coming on for the supplemental review for that. I really like that episode. I think it's great.
It's dreadful.
So going back to Cisco and what Oliver said about the pale moonlight, and we're talking about the captains, what captain do you think would have done the same like Cisco did? Because obviously he broke the Prime Directive, went against his own ethics to bring the Romulans into the war. Picard would never have done that. I don't think Janeway would have.
No, Archer would have done it.
Yeah, Archer would have done it.
Archer would have done it. And
I reckon if Janeway was bent over, she would have done it. Excuse the pun.
I mean, if she was forced to.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
With the ball.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody makes a deal with the Borg, I think they'll, lay down with one, lay down with the other.
Yeah, but the thing is, this is a decision that Cisco knew was condemning thousands more people to death that had nothing to do with the war.
But you could argue that he saved so many people by doing that, though.
Oh, yeah, no, it's one of them,
it's a grey line, it's very ambiguous.
These are the many, yeah.
So it's it, but still, that's the thing. To be honest, it's weird. We don't know enough about Kirk to know whether he would have done that, because in the series they never fleshed out his character properly. until the movies. So
I think Kirk would have done it.
Yeah, I think Kirk would have done.
Mm.
I think he would have. Yeah, I think he would have had that slight edginess. Yeah.
Look how much he sacrificed to save Spock.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's the thing. Unless he knew that to benefit one of his mates, then he might not have been that fast.
But I don't think Pike would have done it. From what we saw in that one episode, I don't think Pike would have been the sort of character to have done anything like that.
We never saw enough of Pike to work out his personality, did we? So, yeah. But I do like Sisko, though. I must admit, I am a big DS9 fan, and I do really like Sisko. He's probably my second favourite captain, I would have said, after Picard. And I don't know why I like Picard as well. I grew up with Picard. I started watching TNG when I was a teenager, so it was my first real Trek love. And, you know, most people, I think when you ask a lot of people, most of them will say that Picard is their favourite, but I'm not quite sure why. I just think, I mean, Patrick Stewart's a superb actor. He really looks the part. He looks really dignified. I think the way he speaks, he just commands authority. And that's just one thing, you know, that I really like about him. Yeah.
Mm. So, Oliver, with Sisko, one thing that I did love about Sisko was watching him find his spirituality and find that balance between Starfleet and becoming the emissary. Because I know a lot of people don't like the religion side of DS9, but I personally loved it. Obviously, being your favourite captain, how did you feel like regarding that part of his role?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a very interesting take because, I mean, previously in Star Trek, religion had actually been done before. So it was quite an interesting take, first of all. I mean, just see the way he grew with it. I mean, perhaps they could have done a few more episodes where the will and his faith and the faith that people place in him contradicts with his own Starfleet morality. I mean, those could have been some interesting episodes. I mean, they also continue in some of the newer books, the conflict between him being as part of the prophets and him also being a Starfleet officer and his own personal family life. So, I mean, he's quite an interesting, you know, growth. But, I mean, I prefer him as a Starfleet captain, first of all, and what he did in the war. And the religion and prophet side was a nice supplement to round his character off.
Because I personally think that he grew a lot more as he embraced the emissary side of his persona.
Definitely.
Though obviously he got far cooler just by shaving off his hair and growing a beard.
I liked his beard. I thought it made him look more
No, cool. I think that made Sisko, doesn't it? When he lost the hair and grew the beard, I think that really made him as a character. A little bit like when Riker grew the beard.
Yeah.
That's when he became more of a character. I know it sounds weird, but I think everyone agrees. Once he grew the beard, it changed him. And when Sisko lost the hair and grew that little goatee, it just changed his whole look and his whole personality.
It's like whenever they grow the beard, you know that they're getting serious and things are about to go down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Sisko grew an angry beard, though.
Mm. But he's an angry man.
Very. But, that's why he's so good, though.
And that's the thing. I'm just glad that Sisko didn't stay as the captain from the emissary.
I mean, one of the main differences between Sisko and Picard is how they interact with Q. And like in the first series, when the only Q episode is there, and then, you know, Q goes, "Oh, you hit me." Picard never hits me at all. That just shows how the difference between two captains is that Picard's, in some extent, willing to hook up with Q's playful antics, whereas Sisko's just like, no, punch. There you go.
Yeah, act now, think later. And the thing is, though, it got a lot of people's back up, seeing how Sisko initially interacted with Picard.
And got my back up a little bit as well.
Yeah,
he was only a commander, wasn't he? And Picard was a captain.
Yeah, but how would you have reacted?
Well, yeah. I think it's a tricky situation, but still, he's your superior officer.
I mean, I think they originally wanted by the end of DS9 to promote Sisko to admiral. That's what I've read on some places, because of what he actually grew into and all the roles he was actually doing by the end of it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, definitely. Well, we do have two more people waiting to get on, Oliver, so I have to say thank you very much for joining us.
That's okay. It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure. And send in your money.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
We really appreciate all of your support, so it means a lot. Are you going to be sticking with us for a little while longer?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I've not got anything else to do this evening.
Sounds good to me.
Cool.
Okay.
Excellent.
Okay, mate. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Oliver.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Cheers, mate. Bye.
Thanks, Oliver.
Okay. So we've already sort of arranged that the next DS9 supplemental will be Adam and Lee joining me to talk about Far Beyond the Stars, which is an amazing episode.
It is. Yeah,
I love that episode. It's one of my favourite episodes of DS9.
You're trying to goad me here. It's not going to work.
I'm with you on this, Adam. I can't stand it.
No, thank you, Michael.
I think I'm you said you. In the chat room, Adam, you hadn't watched it for a couple of years. I think you need to just watch it again
I haven't been for a few years, but I know that my opinions on it will come out later in spoiler alert, the Larry Chep Nemechek section that we have coming up.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll get my brief feelings, but I will watch it again and I will be prepared to review it on supplemental because I would like to see what all the fuss is about.
Definitely. Okay, and seeing as you've got such differing opinions from some people, here's one guy who does have a very different opinion. As we add Lee Hutchinson onto the show, so let's just wait for him to pick up.
Hi,
Lee.
How you doing?
Hi.
Hello, Lee. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, not a problem.
So, is there anything, before we start off on the captains, is there anything that you want to say to Adam?
Adam's the guy that we're disagreeing with in the episode about, it's just fantastic. It was one of those episodes, I remembered renting it on video from Blockbuster at the time. It was like when Sky used to do like blocks of Deep Space Nine and then blocks of Voyager. And I remember getting the tape and it was just one of those episodes that just blows you away. It was just great seeing all the kind of cast out of their kind of usual makeup and persona, and I loved it all. It's one of those episodes that's always stuck with me. It was just such kind of brave television, and I was at that kind of age. I think I was maybe about 12 when I first saw it, and that's when I started to really get into kind of arc-based TV shows, and you know, it kind of all came from that sort of episodes Deep Space Nine were doing around like season 5 and 6. So it's one of those episodes that's had a huge influence on my kind of taste on television, really.
Yeah. Definitely. Mark's already got you lined up for the supplemental.
It should be really interesting. I like a good debate with people of different opinions, whether it's politics or television shows. It's certainly always a good laugh.
Yeah, definitely.
So I look forward to it.
Yes, it'll be an interesting challenge.
So, for captains, who really struck a chord with you? Who was your favourite captain?
Well, it's two different ones for me. Like, as you have kind of already mentioned, I kind of grew up with Jean-Luc Picard, like BBC Two kind of after school, you know, he was that kind of guy you always looked up to, he was the guy you would love to be like, you know, he had the kind of happy family sort of ship, you know, it was perfect. But then at first I didn't really like Deep Space Nine, but then I got really into that sort of you know, Sho and Sisko. And for me, he was my main captain, because you compare him to all the other captains and, you know, you can give or take a few of them, but he was the one that really developed from episode 1 to episode 175, whatever. It was just, you saw how much he changed and, you know, how, you know, you look at Janeway and there was so little change between, you know, the first episode and the end. And, you know, we saw some change in Archer, you know, once they got to like season 3 and 4, and Picard was relatively consistent until they turned him into like an action hero in the movies. And, you know, the same with Kirk, there was never much change. So you kind of feel he went on a journey with Sisko, like you saw him change and, you know, you saw him, like the relationship with Jake and, you know, the station, you know, I'm considering myself like a staunch atheist, but I loved the kind of religious subplots of Deep Space Nine. I mean, you see these shows nowadays and what Deep Space Nine was doing at the time, you know, it seemed to be doing like a kind of post 9/11 show in a pre 9/11 world. And you saw this kind of, you know, hero come from the kind of ground up, you know, to basically be the man that saved the Alpha Quadrant. And, you know, that was some journey over 7 years and not something you got really on Star Trek until Deep Space Nine and Sisko came along.
Yeah, I totally agree. You've come up with some brilliant points.
Who would you say is your worst captain, Lee?
I don't mind Archer because of season 3 and 4. You know, we saw a whole different side to him. But I cannot stand Janeway. I mean, I don't know if any of you are familiar with the SF Debris review videos. He's an American kind of critic that puts up these, you know, reviews every kind of Saturday of just old Voyager episodes where he just talks through them. And just when you're watching them, you just realize how many foolish decisions Janeway made. And, you know, even just take it down to the main pilot episode, and, you know, all she needs to do is leave some bombs on the caretaker array, shoot on home, and it's, you know, all done and dusted. Admittedly, there wouldn't be a TV show, but she just never seemed to, you know, she was so inconsistent, you know, oh, we're not going to steal technology, oh, we'll steal technology from, you know, the Borg or what have you, and she just, you know, there was never, you know, much growth. And, you know, I liked how she became a kind of mother figure to, you know, 7 of 9. I thought that was interesting at times, but I just found her a very kind of irritating presence. But I felt that way about, you know, most of the Voyager crew, to be honest. I just, you know, I didn't feel inspired by her. She's not the sort of person I could see myself getting right behind, you know, unlike a Sisko or a Picard or even an Archer and a Kirk to an extent. So, you know, she just, no, not for me.
So would you have rather that Chakotay in the early days had of taken command?
Yeah, well, I just think Voyager was just such a wasted opportunity. I mean, everything was kind of tied up in a nice fancy bow by the end of the 2-hour pilot. I mean, I remember when I was really young at the time and Voyager was coming out, you thought, oh, this is going to be really interesting. Lots of conflict, lots of, you know, these sorts of issues would be faced that kind of Deep Space Nine was getting into at the time. And you see shows now like kind of Battlestar Galactica and you think, Voyager could have been that. It could have been such a better show. Like, I think I saw someone earlier on the chat make the point that Year of Hell was a great episode. I wanted to see Year of Hell as like a year-long episode. I didn't want to see it kind of as a really good two-parter, and then at the last 5 minutes, they just bottle it and just, you know, reset the whole thing. I mean, that's one of the main problems I just had with Janeway, is I couldn't get behind her because there was never a sign of growth. You know, there was nothing there.
Yeah. their own.
Exactly. I mean, I can see why people kind of, you know, like her. She's a really nice figure. You know, she's, you know, she kept her head over 7 years when it could have all gone to pot. But, you know, I think it's more down to kind of bad writing that people have that kind of feeling about Janeway, because, you know, they made everything so perfect. Everything at the end of the day had their magic reset button, and Janeway was, you know, brilliant, and people would look stupid to make her look great. And, you know, I just found her just very uninspiring. They just never seemed to develop her into the kind of leader she should have been and could have been, and she never seemed to face real adversity for, you know, more than maybe an episode or so. She was never, I felt, tested. You know, I wanted to see more decisions like she had in Scorpion, more conflict with Chakotay and her crew, but they just seemed like one happy family just trucking along, you know, the Delta Quadrant, you know, the occasional death of someone that you never really cared about, or you had it like Kerry, where they never had him in the show for 6 years, and then they bring him back to kill him. And I wanted to see Voyager do what they did with kind of Battlestar Galactica, and, you know, have it as a, you know, a crew struggling to get by, face issues like, you know, having children, you know, keeping, you know, the ship running. They just, I just didn't feel that conflict made her an interesting character. I think it totally undermined her, you know, as a person. You know, I thought Kate Mulgrew is a great actress, but I think the character of Janeway is just very two-dimensional.
Great points.
Great points, Mike says.
I think Wayne's about to cut you off here.
Thanks for joining us.
I liked Battlestar Galactica, by the way.
Battlestar Galactica is amazing.
I mean, what
don't
you
get me kind started.
Of, I mean, what you look at is you see the people that were involved in Battlestar Galactica, that Ronald D. Moore, a lot of the writers from Deep Space Nine came over, and you see that as a show that Deep Space Nine really was the kind of an inspiration for a lot of the shows that kind of came out in the 2000s. I mean, you know, you've got these kind of war conflicts, and as I said earlier on, it seems like a kind of post 9/11 show in a pre 9/11 world. I mean, you think about Deep Space Nine, and it is a show about, you know, former terrorists working together with the Federation, you know, religious issues, you know, kind of alliances, wars, you know, treason. It's all these sorts of issues that you see so many shows inspired after kind of 9/11 that started happening, and you see them so much in Battlestar Galactica. And, you know, I don't think it's a surprise that a lot of the cast and a lot of the crew, sorry, from Deep Space Nine transferred over to Battlestar Galactica. And you can see why Ron Moore, you know, didn't last long on Voyager. You can see his hands were kind of held back. And, you know, it makes you wonder how good Voyager could have been in the right hands, you know, inspired by those sorts of shows and following on from Deep Space Nine to an extent.
I wonder how different Voyager would have been if it wasn't running in conjunction with DS9.
Yeah,
I think there was probably a kind of thing where they didn't want two kind of similar, quite kind of dark series running at the same time. It would be interesting if DS9 finished and we had Voyager straight after.
Exactly. Well, there's one thing you could say is obviously we had kind of, I think it's all down to the kind of crew that they had there. I mean, Deep Space Nine had its own real crew. Like, people kind of came off the Next Generation and went on to Deep Space Nine. You had the Ron Moores, the Iris Stephen Bears. And I don't think they could... They were the sort of people that made Deep Space Nine, whereas you got a lot of the people that came from the Next Generation and went over to Voyager, and they kind of brought over a lot of the good parts of, you know, the Next Generation, but it just felt a bit watered down. You know, it was Next Generation light, I felt, the whole time. And, you know, it had this plot of we wanting to get home, but it just felt like Next Generation, you know, but in the Delta Quadrant. And, you know, I just didn't enjoy it that much. Maybe about 20-odd episodes out of the whole series that I really liked, but it just, you know, it was never for me, really.
I think Lee's right, because if you look, he says about Battlestar Galactica and everything, considering everything that happened after 2001, then Star Trek just lost focus, I think. It lost touch of what was happening in the real world and wasn't using some of those real world events into the stories. So while Battlestar was dark and, dare I say, gritty and things like that, Star Trek was still trying to be happy and reset at the end.
Yeah, you even saw that in the first two seasons of Enterprise. They kind of went back. It was more the same Next Generation Voyager light until they started you know, they really need to push the boat out. And then what did they do? They kind of went back to that Deep Space Nine, and you see a lot of the kind of same themes come in again, you know, war, a big enemy, you know, that ongoing, you know, plot synopsis, you know, threats against mankind, treason, you know, damage that is constantly seen again and again. I mean, this obviously, I think I'd read somewhere that Iris Stephen Bear was kind of brought on just before season three, and they were like, what are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? And you can kind of see where they maybe pointed him in the right direction. I mean, I'd love to have seen what they did with seasons three and four of Enterprise in the first two seasons, instead of making a kind of a Next Generation light, you know, show again and taking it down a few notches. And I think we could have maybe had a really good show if they'd, you know, got into that much quicker.
And it would have been nice to see kind of Enterprise up to season seven to see what the kind of final, what Archer would have actually been like. If would he have kind of been more of a Sisko in terms of character development?
Exactly.
Or...
I mean, one of the things I find interesting is that, you know, we obviously got as far as season four, and there was so much potential. And I think one of the best things about seasons three and four, apart from, you know, the god-awful final episode, was, you know, that there was no Rick Berman and Brana Braga, that kind of the people that were so influential on Voyager that took over, you know, all those ideas onto Enterprise and made it, you know, that sort of Voyager-like show. And as soon as they were kind of out of the way, and Manny Cota, who, you know, I really loved Odyssey 5, and I was really happy when he got brought on board, and he was kind of given the power in season 3 and 4. You know, that's the sort of thing I wanted to see them doing at the beginning, and I just felt it was too much of the same people, you know, brought over again. And when they got to like season 3 with Manny, they had new ideas, new, you know, focus, you know, just a total change, and I thought that was, you know, really good.
Definitely. Now, I'm really sorry to cut you off, Lou.
Yeah,
one more person to get on the call-in show. But thanks for jumping
on,
Lee.
No,
you spoke your really your points very, very well, and I'm looking forward to getting you on the supplemental.
No worries at all. Take care, everyone. Bye.
Thank you.
Cheers. Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Great.
That was good, that.
Brilliant. No. Some great points.
Yeah. Really good point.
Not all that I agree with, but still.
Yeah. He made the points very well, I would say. He spoke very articulately, so excellent. That's
no,
really
I look
good.
Forward to Thanks, getting him on the show. Now, the next caller we're going to have on is quite a special caller, where we always wonder how the other halves get on when we're podcasting. And obviously, Emma's on... previously in the Alpha Quadrant podcast regularly. So
say hi, Emma.
Hi, everybody.
Hey,
Emma.
Emma.
Hey, Emma.
You made me laugh when I heard you when you were on one of the previous shows.
Emma always makes me laugh. She's brilliant. But still.
Is it just the general stupidity of me compared to everybody else?
No,
I
it's
think
you
it's
keeping
because
the boys
I can relate
in check.
To you then.
No, for me, it's you keeping the boys in check that
I don't think she keeps us in check. You should hear the stuff we cut out, Wayne.
But still, we do also have another half joining us, and this is going to be none other than Jen, who is JD from the Wilderness's wife. So, I'm calling them now. They should be...
This is JD's wife, is it?
Yes.
Is this the wife that allowed her daughter to be called Esri?
It is indeed. We're going to have to question this.
It's a good name.
Hello, yeah. Hi, are you there, Jen?
Hello, I'm here.
Hi, Jen.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, thanks for joining us.
Hi.
Yeah, he sort of sprung it on me a bit, but...
Yeah, we already feel like we know you from all JD says on the Wilderness about you.
That's a bit of a worry. Apparently, Fez always mentions me too because I've known him longer than I've known JD. So,
yeah, you know, Fez normally says, "Would you be in trouble, JD? Because you should have been home 2 hours ago."
Yeah, there's, and to be honest, being a podcaster like who is married, I totally understand the fear. Of upsetting the other half because us podcasters do it all the time.
Well, I've been on a call with Mark where Mark's being shouted at, and even though she couldn't see me, she couldn't hear me. I was so scared and so quiet. I wasn't saying a word, thinking is she going to go
just
soon?
In case she starts shouting at you. Yeah, shut up, Adam.
Have you ever heard me get in trouble, Adam?
No. You're never in trouble, Paul.
No, if you start shouting at you, yeah.
And if echo.
Yeah, someone's got us on loudspeaker.
No. You're never in trouble, Paul. If you start shouting at you.
It's Michael. Michael.
Michael.
Michael. Hello. Shh. Turn the volume off.
Michael.
It's not
me.
Michael.
It's not me. Oh, it's saying that it's coming from you. Are you on our website?
Michael.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, the technicalities. So, the first thing that we've got to ask you, Jen, is...
Yes.
We've all been wondering... How did JD Swindle get in your daughter to be named Esri?
Yeah. I don't know. It's still... yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't mind it.
Oh, no. It's a beautiful name.
well, Yeah, probably started even before I met JD, because my ex decided he if we had kids, he wanted to call our daughter O'Laren.
Trek, mate, is a Star Trek's a general theme then?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, but that would have been even worse, because then Fez would have just been constantly shouting, Batman, swear right. to me!
And he's laughing because I don't get it. So,
Batman.
Oh, right.
Hey, guys.
Hey, JD. You're right.
JD's a witness that Emma agreed to call our first child Makewheeze.
That didn't happen. That did not happen. That never happened.
I've got the Skype recording to prove it, so she can deny it all she likes.
And it's backed up in multiple places.
Yep.
My hard drive, my broken computer.
So do you watch much Trek then?
Bits and pieces. Like when I was however old I was when Next Gen was on.
Young,
yeah. My dad used to watch it, so I'd watch it with him, and then yeah, took a liking. That Next Gen's the one that I've seen the most of.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that has to be my favourite. But
so,
and yeah.
Who would you say was your favourite captain out of the bunch?
Well, we were talking about this before. I do like Picard, but I like Janeway because she won't take crap.
Yes. See, we need more Janeway lovers in the world.
Yeah.
There's too many detractors.
Emma, who's your favourite captain? Do you still there, Paul?
Nope,
Paul and Emma, what are you doing?
I think my...
Yes,
I think we're just sitting here listening to you.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, yes.
We can hear you.
I think my favourite captain is Picard.
Hey.
But why? Why?
Is that because you've only seen Next Iteration?
I think he's my favourite captain, but I don't know. I don't know why he's my favourite captain. I just think he is. Huh?
Sorry,
we lost the audio for a second there.
Is there a delay?
I think so.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. It's a fair choice. It's a fair choice. So, but that's the thing. With Janeway, what else just like struck a chord for you? Then Jen.
I don't know. Probably just because when I started watching it, I was probably a teenager when she was around, and it was just nice to see like a strong female character, because they're all like women on shows are just, even if they pretend to be strong characters, they're still chasing after the elusive man or whatever. Like, because I'm not much of a feminist. Like, I'm a bit useless when it comes to that kind of stuff, but. Like, it's just nice to see that, you know, she was in charge and it didn't matter that she was a woman. And, like, she probably could have been a bit more feminine and still been in charge. But I don't know. I just like her.
Yeah. No, it's totally understandable. It's totally understandable. And I feel she's the one that I would go to most out of all the captains. She's the most approachable, most... She's a people's captain, in my opinion. Paul and Emma, are you back with us?
Yes, we're back to normal now.
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, so justify yourself, Emma. Why Picard?
I like Picard. I think I like all of the people in
Next Generation.
The Next Generation.
That show.
That's
the one with the guy with the Mars bar head.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, the guy that's like half computer and his cat. Yeah, like that one.
Computer. He's not half computer.
He's still computer.
So I think I've watched that one so much that I prefer that one. But from watching the ones that that you guys review, Paul and Adam. I don't like.
You hate Enterprise because you said the uniforms are crap.
Well, exactly, and then everybody took the mick out of me for saying that. Everyone but now did, to that comment.
Well, they're quite functional uniforms. I mean, they're probably the most realistic out of the lot.
It's just really bland to look at. It's like, oh, they're great. They're all wearing grey.
But you also met Patrick Stewart as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I met Patrick Stewart too.
So.
And what was the man himself like?
Oh, he was quite nice. Yes, it's very nice.
He was a bit teary, wasn't he?
Well, yeah. Well,
you made him cry.
No, I didn't personally make him cry. No.
Yeah,
Paul made him cry. Paul actually made him cry.
Not directly. I didn't go and punch him or anything.
It was like a question and answer thing at the Edinburgh Film Festival. And Paul asked to which he cried in his reply.
So, not many people can say that, can they?
No, that's the thing. No, that's definitely not many people make him cry. Only that and the people who touch him in the bad place.
How many lights are there?
Yeah, no, that's it exactly. So, but personally, I just find it interesting that out of everyone we've had on, there hasn't been a single person that's stuck up for Kirk.
No. Or Archer.
No.
I said Archer was my favourite.
Well, we watched the original series episode today.
Uh-huh.
With Kirk in it.
Yeah.
And he was just a bit sappy. He was just like, he wasn't proper captain. He was just like, oh yeah, whatever. Just,
he was more interested
like,
in the girls.
Spock was telling him what to do. That's what was happening. So, yeah, he's not very good captain.
Kirk's fairly useless apart from the films.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
he's quite good at chasing women.
I wouldn't even say he's that good at that. Will Riker was far better.
Oh, yeah.
Riker's got a couple hundred years on him or whatever.
Yeah, but still, that's the thing. Kirk should have been the one writing the book.
I think Riker did well because he had to do the crew evaluation reports. And that's where,
I will evaluate you thoroughly.
Yeah.
So, to round off this hour, who would everybody like to have seen become captain?
Data.
That's just because you've got that weird mechanical crush, isn't it?
Malcolm Reed.
What?
Yeah, Malcolm Reed. Yeah, Malcolm Reed would have been a good captain, I think. I think I'd agree with you there, Paul.
Yeah, I think he would have made a great captain.
He would have been a very stern Harry Kim. I think Reed would have been a very stern, no nonsense captain, wouldn't he?
Who says Harry Kim? Get out.
Oh dear, Paul has started drinking.
No, I didn't say Harry Kim. I was very good. I only had one drink tonight. I'm gonna be pissed tomorrow night.
Harry Kimmel can become a captain of the Space McDonald's. He can be head of the drive-thru.
Yeah, but he'd somehow screw that up, though. He'd end up getting killed in the deep rat fry or something. He'd fall in. It would be horrific.
He would give a Big Mac to a vegetarian.
But still, that's the thing. I still would love to have seen Riker's command. Just because I'm sure it would have been like series. The party bus.
Yeah.
What was that one? Again, it was the, what's his ship called?
The Titan.
The Titan.
Yeah, the Titan.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. So, yeah, I think that he would have just been getting people laid left, right and centre.
Yeah, it'd be the Playboy Mansion in space.
Yeah. Yeah,
there'd be a lot of stuff in sick bay where they're treating STDs that he's given out.
Yeah.
I think, being serious, I think Tuvok would have made a good captain.
Really?
Well,
I don't think Tuvok even made a good Vulcan, never mind a good captain.
What's Tuvok? What's all the Tuvok there?
I thought.
Oh, Captain. What about Captain Neelix?
Oh, Captain Neelix. He'd be flush out the airlock.
Well, he was a captain of his own little dinky ship, wasn't he?
Yeah, and where did they find him? In a scrapyard, scavenging.
Yeah, and where did they leave him? In an asteroid, annoying people.
today.
Look, if John Harriman can be a captain, anyone can. Let's just put that.
Yeah.
If that guy can get committed to the Enterprise, anything's
possible. Put Spot in charge.
Oh, yes, put Spot in charge. Oh, I love Spot.
Captain Spot.
Because he's ginger. I'm ginger.
Oh, maybe that's it.
Yeah. Paul, you took offense of calling you ginger earlier.
Yeah, now you're almost embracing it.
I know, I said I embrace my gingerness. No, you said it in a way as like getting beaten up stuff.
You're not one of the gingers that say you're strawberry blonde, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm ginger and proud, thank you very much.
Yeah, the next podcast is going to be embracing contact.
Huh? Oh, dear. So, well, on... yeah, don't worry, Paul. On that note, it's time to cut for our next hour. So, Paul, I believe this is you for now.
That's me for now. I will see you all in the morning at 6 o'clock, bright and early, and I'll probably be overly excited. So I'll apologise now.
So, and after this,
I'll speak to you, Jen, and Paul's girlfriend, Emma.
And Jen. Yeah.
And Michael. Sorry, Michael, you've been there for a while, so I thought you were part of the group. Lovely talking to everybody.
Bye,
Paul. Bye, Paul. Kisses.
Bye, Paul. Bye, Paul.
Bye. Love you.
So, after this musical interlude, we will go straight to earlier on in the week. Mark had the pleasure of catching up with the Trekkie girls, because unfortunately they are at a con this weekend, so they couldn't join us live.
No, they're not at a con, they're at a hen do in the south of France.
Oh, is it a hen do?
It's a hen do, yeah, they're in Monte Carlo. It's normally a con with those two, yeah, but no, they're actually the hen do in Monte Carlo, of all places, lucky them. So I caught up with them earlier in the week, so we've got a quick half-hour review of Captain's Holiday coming up after this musical interlude, which I'll just play now.
Your efforts to break the encryption codes will not be successful, nor will your attempts to assimilate me into your collective.
Brave words. I've heard them before. From thousands of species across thousands of worlds since long before you were created.
But now, they're all...
Let's go! Enterprise destroys the cube. The Borg, they're blown up all. Ain't no sound but the sound of space. And from the cube, there comes a ball. Can you hit it? Can you hit the ship? Can your scanners do the trick? Out of time, the distortion takes us back in history, they slip. Yeah. Another one becomes us. Another one becomes us. And another one droned, another one droned, another one becomes us. Hey, hey, we'll assimilate you. Another one becomes us.
Check out the environmental controls while I'm gone. It's getting a little warm in here.
How do you think the temperature raised on the decks of the Enterprise? They're grabbing crew members, boy, it's sad, and much to their surprise. Are you crappy? Are you terrified? How long can you resist the queen? Out of the alcoves, the drones, they slip. The guard knows what this means.
Look out. Sounds Swedish.
Another one becomes us. Another one becomes us. Another one droned, another one droned, another one becomes us. Hey, we'll assimilate you. Another one becomes us. Yeah!
Unless you make that warp flight tomorrow morning before 11:15, none of it will happen. Hey. And you people, you're all astronauts on some kind of Star Trek. Get off my bridge.
Report! Main power's offline. We've lost the shields. Our weapons are gone.
Perhaps today is a good day to die. Prepare for running speed!
Another one becomes us. Another one becomes us. Another one becomes us. Hey, hey! Another one becomes us.
Hey, 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 hey. Such a noble creature. Quality we sometimes lack.
Plenty ways to assimilate men, and one quite effective. You can tempt, you can mock, you can use your probes and leave to the collective.
I'm adapting, I'm adapting for you, my technology all the while. Out of the plasma, I can hear you say, resistance is futile.
Another one becomes us. Another one becomes us.
And another one droned, another one droned.
Another one becomes us.
Hey, we'll assimilate you.
Another one becomes us.
Shoot everyone.
We have a quorum. Now you're shielded.